Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
So let me just get this right. So the building has been taken over.
But yeah, by German terrorists.
And your reaction is, I'm going to go into VR for the next 30 hours.
Welcome to Pitch Please.
Jesus Christ.
My name's Alex. Oh. I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hi.
Oh. Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hi.
Thomas, the ideas engine, is currently having a heart attack.
God. My weak heart. My weak, feeble heart. Oh, God.
You're okay. Give it just deep breaths,
like a,
Tom.
I feel like a hummingbird right now.
Deep breaths. All right, look, the way this works, if you've not listened to this before, an idea for a game is going to be pitched, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show trying to figure out how to make it or pull it apart and destroy it, probably that one.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to throw in different ideas, you know, come in with our own little bits and bobs, add our own little ideas to the stew, to the game soup. Ooh. And then see if we're going to either need to drink it or be forced to drink it in about 30 minutes time.
Wait, is tipping it into like the gutter not an option?
No, we have to drink it.
Someone is drinking this soup.
Someone is drinking this game soup at the end, yeah.
It's a guarantee.
It was a stew a second ago.
Oh.
Who yeah, right. is, well, it depends what's in there. Stew or soup.
Yeah,
stew.
Let's be honest. There's not going to be much substance.
Is that the game, is it? Stew or soup? And you just
some game mechanics
pictures.
In there. You got yourself a stew gun.
All right. Pitch Lord Thomas. What have you got for us this week?
Oh, man, I've been racking my brain, coming up with big ideas. I got a whiteboard. I've got that little string that you point ideas to other ideas.
Oh, like the Charlie.
Oh,
like
Tom,
the
I think Charlie. You're accidentally solving a murder.
I might be. It's not solving a murder. I'm coming up with millions of incredible game ideas. And you know what? I can't wait to pitch them all. Hang on, my phone's going. Give me. Oh. Hang on a second. Let me just. Let me just get this. Sorry.
Hi, guys. Welcome to my pitch hole. So, a spectacle roguelite FPS where you play as a sleeper agent in an office building. You level up your skills from a civilian to a combat god by playing out combat scenarios in your head before attempting the real escape. The setting is an office complex that is X amount of stories tall, where you work on the top floor and must make your way down the building, shooting up the bad guys who have taken over the building Die Hard style. Gameplay is definitely important, but this is also about spectacle. When you first start, you are a civilian who has never fired a gun before. When you fire it, it is highly inaccurate, kicks like a mule, and when you reload, you mess it up. As you level up your skills after each escape attempt / run, you decrease those mechanics such as recoil and reload time, but accompanying these is new animation. Instead of firing your gun and swaying all over the place, it becomes more stable. When you reload, you go from trying to find the handle for the magazine to slip into, to a reloading god which does it almost instantaneously. The game takes the term tactical and turns it up to 11. Think John Wick with epic reloads and dumb over-the-top action from Equilibrium as you gain more skills over time. And finally, after the player is satisfied with the amount of simulations they have ran and leveled up, they attempt to escape the building. It becomes an actual roguelike as death now means resetting the game to the beginning. This game should be punishing with almost instant kill bullets, but the player character develops skills to mitigate this, like in Max Payne / Hitman, with bullet time or Red Dead Redemption Deadeye mode. I don't know if this game should be pre-generated at the start of the game, so you'd almost play it in a pattern. So, example would be like, you go down these stairs, shoot the guy on the left, wait 5 seconds for the next guy to walk in, choke him out, use him as a body shield to stop the turret's bullets. You could do random every time, learning the different situations you can come across, which you could learn and then apply mechanically on the final run. So what do you guys think? Love you all, Michael.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that.
with meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on the path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Whoa, Michael, wow, I'm sorry. That was so unprofessional.
That was very rude of them to interrupt your
Can you not
pitch.
Interrupt, please? We're trying to do a podcast recording here. I'll block the number. Don't worry about it. Sure. That won't happen
again.
Let's just
forget about that one.
Although,
is it Mike Cool as well, or is it Mike Cool?
Mike Cool's Tactical.
No, even though it was so very rude of him to interrupt, I kind of like the idea. Like,
we may as well do it now. He's interrupted.
Well,
he's fucking ruined the podcast.
I'll erase my whiteboard of fantastic ideas. We'll save them for next time, I guess. Whatever.
Fine.
I must say,
good ones. They're all deck builders.
It just says deck builder. With lots of string pointing to it.
Circled 1,000 times. I've just got to get this out of my head, but I love the idea that you go through all of these scenarios and then when you finally go to get out of the building, you just get in the elevator, go down, and then you walk out the building because it's like real life, right? You're not actually shooting the place up. You're just like, oh, that's it. We can't have that. We have to have a shootout.
We have to have a fucking shootout.
It's Die Hard, but John McClane doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a guy. He's a nobody.
Yeah, he's not a trained cop. He doesn't do that thing where he takes his shoes off and scrunches his toes to get rid of jet lag. What was that? What was that for?
Yeah. Something like that. Sure.
Just to make him feel better after a horrible, horrible flight, sat next to the guy that reports on his family. Is that right? I haven't watched Die Hard in a long time.
Well, it's nearly Christmas time, so you can watch it.
It is nearly Christmas. I am going to watch it again. Anyway, he's not a trained cop. He's just a regular boy. He's nobody's booby, like the guy in Die Hard. He's
classic
not gonna,
McClane line.
Maybe that wasn't McClane who said that. Fucking idiot! It was the other
ain't
guy.
Ain't nobody's booby.
I forgot that part.
Yeah, that
when
was.
He's
it.
In the vent.
We'll climb into a vent. Have a booby.
This reminds well not reminds me a little bit, but we've done, I think at some point, maybe this year, maybe last year, we had an idea of a roguelike, you know, the World War II one, whatever it was.
Tactical Station Masturbation Nation.
Yeah,
what was it called?
Yeah. I believe that was
it was that, yeah.
The
was that.
Communication Station.
Communication Station.
I think it was the first one we did.
And so that, like, I mean, this probably isn't anything. It's not really that similar, but it was the only other game that I've heard of that we've talked about so far that has a kind of roguelite and roguelike element in it, which is quite interesting. I've never really seen that.
I remember that one being a kind of Slay the Spire style map. So it wasn't.
That's how it turned out.
I feel like when you start a new game, it was a whole new thing. But with this, yeah, I really like that idea of repeating runs over and over again to upgrade yourself until you are brave enough to attempt the final run. And if you lose that, you are done. You just restart entirely. And I think, yeah, it should be completely randomized each time, but not necessarily randomized each run, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I think games like, say, Dishonored or things like that, where you play it through enough times to know the map so well that you can get a perfect stealth run, is part of the allure of the game, and replaying stuff to get it perfect, because you know exactly where the enemies are, you know exactly where the items are, you know you can jump up in this place and you'll be hidden up there or whatever else.
Yeah.
That I think feeding into that is a really cool idea and
super satisfying.
Yeah. A million hands have gone up. Did I say something wrong?
James, you go first.
I was just thinking, well, time can play a factor, right? So it, depending on what time of the day you want to start your run, you could try and learn the patterns of where people are in the building. So it could be repeating.
Get them when they're sleepy.
Right, yeah. Or it's you know, the coffee run, so you can use the temp as a bullet shield or something, because you know
Christ.
They're bringing the coffee in.
Just immediately straight
it's
into
just a temp.
Innocent sacrifice.
I was going for like, oh, the terrorists, they're having a siesta. And you're like, oh, get it, run now. Got to do stealth. So, well, mine was talking about the random or procedural or whatever method you want to choose. But also, yeah, having familiarity. I would do it where I have pitched a game similar to this before.
Okay.
Not to you guys. It was basically the 2012 Dread film. Working your way up the tower. Carl Urban's Dread. It's the best. It's such a good film. Everyone should watch it.
And you wanted to make a game out of that.
Yeah, pretty much. But my idea is that the floors are randomly generated. So every floor is designed, but you don't know which floor you're going to get when you go up to it. Mm. So the more you play through it, the more familiarity you get with that floor layout. Mm. And you're like, okay, I know this layout. But that comes with playing over and over again and learning. But it also keeps you on your toes. You can't go into a floor and be like, okay, I know exactly where this guy's going to be or who's going to be there. So... Mm. Once you get your surroundings, you're like, okay, I know where I am and where people are. But it does still gives you that element of, I can't fully prepare for this situation because I don't know what situation I'm going to be in until I get to it. Rather than be like, okay, I know what floor 5 is. I know there's a guy on the left straight away as soon as I come in. Which I, you know, is still cool because it's nice to be like get into that mode where you're like, okay, I'm going to turn left, shoot him. And then I know that guy's going to run out of that door. So I shoot him. That becomes a really nice, and if you do that fast and tight, you're like, okay, that's really satisfying. But I feel like if you're going to do it rogue, light-like-esque, I think just having that level of not knowing, once you figure out where you are, then knowing, because you've played that enough, is better.
Especially if you're getting more skills as you go, you kind of need to have that difficulty, don't you?
Yeah.
To keep the curve with the new skills.
Like Hotline Miami, I think, is similar in that sense as well. Like you see the level outright, you know where all the enemies are. It's just getting through there as quickly as you can.
But that's part of the game,
as much
right?
points you can.
That's to get a better score, right? That's the whole point of that game loop. I don't know if that's what this
but
is.
But that game loop works, is what I mean. Repeating and repeating and repeating until you succeed. It's just the extra challenge of, I guess, playing the level over and over and over again until you're like, right, I've completed this level 3 times in a row now. Now's the time for the real attempt. And then if you fuck it up in some way, then it's like, well, it's entirely on you.
you're saying level, though. That's like, I mean, in my head, he was saying you basically just the whole game. Right?
Oh, yeah,
you run through the whole thing in one go.
But that's what I mean. Like, if you are consistently winning your practice runs, then the bravery to then go into your actual attempted escape.
I love that. I think that's the best bit for me.
Yeah, my only worry is, you know, from the offset, it will just feel like grinding in a sense because you're basically repeating the level over and over again just to increase your reloading, increase your accuracy, increase your gun power, or whatever else. True, but I guess from the offset, you'll just look at a new run and think like, I know this is going to take me like 30 runs to get where I need to be to actually be competent. So there's a part of me that almost wants it to not be an RPG in that sense. And it is just, you learn the levels and the levels are intricate and the enemies are different and you can have different weaponry and whatever else. And it's just your skill. At the very beginning is the same as the very end.
There are ways of like, I played the new Plague Tale Requiem, it's called recently. And that has kind of quite a cool, it doesn't work as well in the context of Plague Tale, but it has this kind of RPG system, this leveling system or a skill system where you don't allocate points. It basically, depending on your play style, it will unlock certain things for you.
Oh, nice.
So it will say, Okay, so you've decided to use the alchemy stuff in this particular section. So we're going to reward you by giving you extra. I didn't like in this case, it's kind of like, you know, you can craft quicker, or you can this particular potion is deadlier or something. It would just give you like little bits like that. But I wonder if there's something of that element, like almost a surprise element, so that when you can approach these things different ways, whether it's stealthy or whether it's like full on action or using weapons or hand-to-hand combat or whatever, but whatever you do, it rewards you, or you increase that skill or you go down that skill tree in a way that's like kind of maybe not hidden, but I don't know, like you're not specifically picking things out, you're growing your character. But without that kind of like, okay, I'm going to allocate X points into this ability and then this ability and stuff. Well, so there's a bit more of natural flow to it.
But, I think it might be Far Cry. Well, there's quite a few games that do it now where there are separate trees. You're like, here's your stealth tree. Here's your, you know, aggressive tree. Here's your defensive tree. Here's your hunter tree. You could do it like that.
The way you
play earns you like points to spend in those particular trees. So if you are doing all stealth and you've unlocked all the stealth, you're like, actually, I really want to play a more aggressive, but I'm now having to start again on my aggressive skill tree. You can use everything you've learned before, but now I'm getting like experience based on the way my playstyle is. So you know, like how in like Dishonored, you get. You know, you get awarded differently for being stealth versus being loud and getting caught. You can just award people experience points that way, and then eventually you could spec all the trees, but then by that point you've played, you know,
that's kind of
100
cool,
hours
you become a god.
Yeah, you know, I've got your 40 quid. Like, I don't really, you know.
you could. That means that you could
now, bitch.
You could complete an entire run just by like being, I don't know, Keymaster or whatever. Basically, you just kind of like, you manage to stealth your entire way, unlock all the doors or whatever. I just mean like,
right?
Is then you basically get out the whole building without alerting a single. Yeah. You go through 20 floors without alerting anyone, and then you just walk out the front.
Okay.
Or you go through and everyone's dead.
Just get hit by a car.
you said something in there when you were talking about the different skill trees of like Far Cry, for example, like the offensive, defensive, tactical, whatever else. You were saying no one ever goes defensive, and that's true. I think obviously this is going back a bit, but like Oblivion, Morrowind, Skyrim.
You better say Stealth Archer.
No, not Stealth Archer. I mean Stealth Archer. In terms of the game balance of Skyrim, it's fucked. But. the stuff you do levels up the stuff that you use. If you use destruction spells, you increase your destruction. So I think it's not necessarily about going into skill trees you don't ever use because they don't sound fun. It's if you get shot a load of times, that will give XP towards the defensive things until you level it up and you naturally gain those things. I guess theoretically you could then say like, well, this run I'm going to run out there and just be a bullet sponge to grind up my defensive tree or whatever it is. But just all the different things that could make escaping better: athletics, accuracy, reloading, health, armor, whatever else. And at the end of a run or end of a simulated run, I'm just imagining like six different bars appearing. And it runs through all of the stats of the stuff that you did, and it just throws it into those bars, and it'd be really fucking satisfying watching that happen. but maybe when you level up, it's not necessarily as basic as your reloading is 10% faster. Maybe we could steal some Vampire Survivors stuff and put it in here, where when you level up, you get a choice of things to perk into. So every run theoretically is different, because at the first level of reloading you got this thing, at the second level of accuracy you got this one, and it's different to the time before. Does that make sense? Am I speaking English?
Yes, you are speaking English.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did have one question, just because I thought as you said this you rehashed what the actual idea is. So let me just get this right. So the building has been taken over and
by German terrorists.
German terrorists.
Yeah.
And
Hans Gruber.
Your reaction is, I'm going to go into VR for the next 30 hours.
Okay, so thematically, okay, what's the situation here? How is this guy?
Okay, you're in a panic
stuck
room,
at the
right?
top
so
floor.
You can choose when to leave. Let's yeah. do it that way. You're the CEO. They're yeah, after yeah. you.
It's Palmer because, Lucky Oculus.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he left.
And okay, now well, he's into defense. You heard it weaponry. Here first. The Oculus the Oculus headquarters is under siege by German terrorists.
Yeah. Okay. And you've locked yourself in your panic room, so you can decide. They can't get in, but you can decide when to leave. Right. But
whilst not you're in my there, lucky day.
There we go.
We can't actually use Palmer Lucky in it. He's an awful person.
Oh.
And probably highly litigious.
Okay, fine. Fine. I don't know anything about him. Anyway.
But yes, so you, and because you're the CEO, you have a full VR representation of this building.
Sure.
That you know. Just no, this is just me clarifying on
you're
that
Tony
was the
Stark
actual...
at the top of the Avengers Stark Tower.
Yep.
And yeah, and you're, that's why they haven't killed you, because you're super important. They've just locked you in your top.
Oh,
in your
they've
room.
Locked you in.
I thought you locked. Locked you I thought in. You were in
you're
your own panic
to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, you
why
could
have
be a
they
panic
locked
room,
you
sure,
in?
But
like you're the treasure.
Because they're holding you hostage. Yeah, you're Tony Stark. You are the treasure.
Right.
I think we dropped the Marvel IP.
Okay, James isn't liking this direction.
I was imagining. I was imagining that it's just some mega nerd. Going into
your
mind palace.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's a guy just at work, right? And he's just, it's office space, and they've spaced out. Yeah. They're thinking about this stuff, and it's when you choose to leave that's when the reality comes true, and it's like, oh, they have just taken over the office. Because I've got to say, there's a moment in this game that I want to happen, which is your mid scenario, your mid run, and then someone comes to your desk in the real world, and it like starts talking to you. And so you have to find a place, you have to find cover in your scenario in your head whilst you still with office stuff. Right? And you go, yeah, no worries, stamp the form. Yeah. And then
wait,
you go back.
Wait,
you're still working.
It's the level 15. It's the level 15. You have to photocopy these 30 times minigame that James has come up with.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's like a free XP boost. It increases your strength or something. Maybe there's activities you can do in the office room.
Are they not just like at their desks with their hands behind their heads? They're not working because
they're under the desks.
They're being held hostage.
Wait, there's guards in the room already.
Maybe. Or there's one guard in your room because you're just smug. Like they don't care about.
You start in the supply closet. You just happen to be in there when
on the top floor.
On the top floor. You just happen to be in there when the terrorists came in and said whatever they say in Die Hard.
Yippee-ki-yay. Office workers.
But in German. Bika-ya.
Ya bika-ya. Office worker.
Office worker. Oh, I don't know why I enjoyed that so much.
With
anyway,
over
so,
the U.
So you're just work. In this tiny little supply closet. You got a broom. That's your starting line.
Oh, you can have a stapler as well.
You got a stapler too. And a red pen in your pocket.
It's an FPS. And, mm-hmm. It's a first-person stapler.
I hate you. and you're just going through your mind palace, trying to figure out the scenarios in which you'll be able to get out. It just so happens your mind palace is weirdly accurate.
Well, you've worked there for 30 years, Tom. Yeah. It was your last. It was your last day before retirement.
You're a 60-year-old janitor. I love
it's like it's like Sifu.
This like
just the last age.
The idea that you're like the 60-year-old like nerdy schmuck janitor. They lock in the closet, and 30 hours later, he comes out as like a Giga Chad mega killer.
Yeah, because he thought about it really hard,
and he's done 20 push-ups.
Part of me likes that it would be item based, right? So. Maybe your aim, we up our skills and stuff, but you find a coffee, you drink the coffee, your accuracy is boosted, you grab some donuts on the way, that's a little bit of health or something. But obviously those items are going to be...
You throw bleach sporadic. In their eyes.
Are there other office items that would...
Well, you're a janitor, right? So you can remove the wet floor sign, and as they run around the corner, they slip.
there's some kind of mechanic in the real world that means... Okay. So, because one of the questions I was going to ask was what makes it different? Like doing the final run, if it's all in your head, if you've already done it a million times, like what is the actual, other than the threat of like you dying and it be turning into a roguelike, isn't it just doing a run again? But what if you had to retain your memory, like of everything you've learned up to that point when you begin the roguelike element of it. And in order to do that, you essentially have like a memory bar or like a memory pool or a mana. It's basically like a mana pool or something, right? And it's running out as you progress down slowly because you're forgetting everything that you've learned, or you're exerting yourself for something.
But that doesn't,
so you need these pickups.
I don't know if that works if you as the player can still remember.
But you mean the skills, right?
I thought you meant like layouts and skills. And I was like, well, yeah, if unless
it just still turns
you
default.
Are suffering from some sort of disease, you might remember.
I just don't know how else it's otherwise it's going to feel, other than like that extra layer of like, okay, now it's for real, and if I die, I'll lose everything. Like the actual run itself, how is it? How does it feel different? Like, is there anything different at all, or is it just like, oh, I'm doing another run, but this time it's if I die, then I've lost completely.
Maybe the longer you take simulating, the more variance there will be at the end. That's the risk, because what's stopping you from just grinding out? Maybe right. every five times you retry or whatever, there's a potential for another modifier to be introduced in the final run that you won't know about until you attempt it.
Well, it's your imagination, right? How much can you imagine? You know three or four floors down really well, but it starts going a bit wobbly later on.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe one level you get into it and it's like all of a sudden all the people are in the wrong places and you have to survive that just by pure skill, I suppose, and your godlike reloading ability. And yeah, maybe that's one thing that just stops you from, yeah, just trying over and over and over again, just maxing out all of your skills.
Yeah, you have to go for it.
Random modifiers that can fuck things up for you. Maybe you finally start the final run and the modifier comes up. Your pen, it's not red anymore. It's blue. Wow. And now
there's a power cut in the building.
You can't color in that key card in red to get through the red key card door. You can only go through the blue
that
key card
is
door,
not how,
which
key,
is how
cards
key cards
work.
No, it's right, okay. It's based on I've played games. I know how they work.
You could force the player to have to do their run with some sort of timed element, so the bad guys are working up the building as you're in your mind working down the building, and you've got to do your final run before they burst in the supply cupboard and take you out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
don't know.
Possibly.
I think there's something. I don't know if you want to force the player to do that, because it is a, if I die, I lose. That's kind of shit in this scenario, I think.
I think it's all, it's all hinging around that idea of, do I take the risk now?
Yeah.
And I think just more ways of enforcing that feeling to make it so like, yeah, I'm taking longer, sure, and it's potentially going to fuck me up, but I need to make sure I can get past this room or whatever else.
Yeah.
I think that could be really interesting. And it has to constantly feel like I've died and I've lost my game. It's because I did this, rather than this guy wasn't where I expected him to be, or he shot me in the head and that's fucking bullshit. Headshots are ridiculous in this game.
Yeah.
You know,
why not just like, couldn't we make it competitive where, you know, the earlier you leave, the more multiplier score wise you get. And then at the end, you are ranked on that, right? And then you can compare with everyone else.
I feel like that's
so there's a run where
that should be there anyway, right?
Well, then when you die, you just regenerate the building and go again.
Yeah, well, maybe not go again.
Seeded building.
Yeah, like daily challenge, seeded run sort of thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd want shortcuts to sort of skip floors? Because that's something you get a lot with rogue lights, is you can take the risk of skipping floors, so you won't be as high a level, you won't have as many items, but your just time is a factor, right?
You could use like vents.
You could have the window cleaners on the outside. You could like commandeer their little.
They're still working.
Wouldn't you just escape?
Well, maybe it cable stuck.
James, your work ethic is either admirable or insane. Everyone, from the sounds of things, are still working just fine, even though Hans Gruber has gone around and shot like seven people.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's where I see it quite differently to everyone else, where I think it's like...
Just carry on.
It's just carry... I don't know.
Keep calm and carry on.
I almost didn't even think you would have the Hans Gruber sort of people coming and shooting in. You would be against the other office workers. That's where
what
I was originally.
The fuck?
Wait, what?
Hang on.
So it was like,
wait,
someone's,
hang on. Can you explain the game in your head
to us? Yeah, we need all the help we can get.
Exactly the same as what we've talked about, but for some reason, you decide to leave work early and everyone kicks off. They all start pulling guns out from under the desk. And
it's not a reaction in a stable that's, workplace.
That's not comparable.
No, it's not a normal work environment. I will, it's, you know, it's quite...
you work at a gun manufacturer.
Yeah, I guess. So that's what I had in my head anyway. But I don't think that works thematically compared to the, you know...
I mean, like, I'm sure you could have a world where that, you know, you could explain that away some kind of setup. But yeah. But I don't know if, like the idea of there being, like... of it being an attack on the building, like, feels really cool. I don't know, like,
yeah,
as soon as
no,
you mentioned
right.
Dread, Chris, I thought of, have you seen The Raid?
Fantastic film.
Like
also a fantastic film.
10, I don't think. Yeah.
I think they both came out 2012.
Late 2010, I think The Raid was.
Okay. Raid 2 might have been 2012.
Oh, maybe, yeah. And, but anyway, yeah, so that is just, that is literally just the whole film is just, they start at the bottom of a tower and there are baddies in there and they're working their way up. But the way it's shot is just, it is incredible, and they have so these good. They use this thing called it's essentially just like a steering wheel with the camera in the middle of it and then they just kind of move that around, so it's like
what you play like, Mario Kart with.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those but with a camera on it.
They've got the Mario Kart Wii accessory and they
so it's that
DSLR
it's that.
Yeah.
And so it's steady enough that it like is doesn't feel kind of all over the place and sickening, but it's like, but it's also, you know, kind of
it feels action cammy.
You feel right in the and I wonder, like, it would be kind of cool to have almost, I don't know how you guys are imagining this, like if it is like a Hotline Miami thing, but it, if it was almost like a you know, you have certain sectors that you know are
we have sex.
Okay. Yeah. Certain sectors.
Freudian slip.
certain sectors that you know are heavily populated, or it has a sub boss there or something. Maybe it's the sub boss room in, like, you know, the level 7 security office. That's where the big guy with the shotgun is. And
so to be
soon
clear,
as you go into that,
our perception of a sub boss is like a high ranking terrorist. But for James,
yeah,
his perspective is it's literally a sub boss,
HR manager,
yeah,
or
an
something.
HR manager. I don't want to discredit your delightful, warped worldview.
It's a dumb idea. I like the other idea. This is what I originally thought was the pitch, but no, I like this idea. And but, like, yeah, go on.
No, but yeah, I was going to say, like, and what works really well with that film is that the camera like follows people so closely through these different little set pieces. So I'm kind of almost imagining you have like the standard gameplay, the kind of the action, third person action adventure gameplay style. But then when you go into these little set piece kind of boss fights, it almost turns into like an Uncharted style. You know, the camera is a character in it while you're kind of fighting. You're using all the different, like, I think using environment is super important. Like knowing there's a printer here and you can use that if you're close enough to pick it up and smash it around the head of the guy with the shotgun or whatever. Mm-hmm. Being able to like use a grenade to blow a hole in the floor, which you can then fall down on top of the guys who are in the room below you, and things like that. Yeah. I think could be like, could
grab
could
a fire
really
extinguisher
fun.
Off the wall and like lob it at the character.
Yeah, but only if you have these skills. The first time you try that, you blow your arms off with the grenade.
Jesus.
Well, that's what he said, right? You have
just
to be like shit at
first
shit
time
to
you reach
with.
The fire extinguisher, you just can't pick it up. I don't know what this is.
You sit on a wheelie chair and just start going like all over the office, like blown around.
I do like the Hotline Miami perspective, I also really like the first person perspective and get you really in there.
Like how about VR?
Fucking
just because I am currently prototyping first-person shooter VR, and Fract has an amazing cover system. I really like it. Fract is was a PSVR exclusive, and that's on PC. But the way you work in that is that you grab like a wall with your hand, and you just move your hand to go in and out of cover. So if you're
So
if there's like a half height wall, you grab the wall, move your hand up, and you'll move your body down.
Mm.
And it's just really nice. But then it's ruined. So, PlayStation Move controls
stuff, like though.
Well, traversal, you can like climb.
You have to grab the floor. Just drag yourself along.
The building could be floors 5 to 10 could be a big like atrium, and you could zip line between different things over this big sort of open area. Like you could, there's lots of stuff you could do with the building layout.
I mean, like that. One of the best VR experiences I've ever had is Super Hot. It is like first person, like dodging the bullets, and like, and actually that kind of is a bit similar to this game, right? You're learning how to do things in a way that like the most overpowered, like cool you can feel in Super Hot is running through that game in real time, because you're just moving at normal speed while the game is, you know, like you don't have to slow down to dodge the bullets because you've just practiced it enough that you can just go through the whole level.
Mm.
And it feels incredible. So actually, that could work.
Extremely unrelated.
Mm.
Is there a VR game where your character is in a wheelchair?
Yes.
And there is.
There is. Yeah.
Ah, cool. Anyway. I just thought that'd be a cool thing.
It's a puzzle game. It's a seated only puzzle game. And I can't remember what it's called. There is one. And that's the whole movement is you just.
I guess there's a Wolfenstein, isn't there?
I suppose the start of that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I just thought that's just a nice way of traversal, I suppose. It was just when you were talking about grabbing the wall to move around, like just moving the wheels forwards in different ways.
Cool. To clarify, you can walk around normally. You don't have to like grab floors and walls to like
navigate
around. It's just if you want to go into cover.
Inspiration struck me for a second there.
I must say, in this game,
what it feels like?
I must say, in this game, being in an office block, I do feel like we should have the standard kind of cubicle flimsy walls, right? So stuff's going to be
right through them,
and paper and everything's going to be flying around the place. Like I think that would be really
Payne
cool.
Max Payne was a reference in this, right?
Yeah,
mentioned
Max Payne,
the paper flying everywhere and stuff. That's like a big deal. The dodging, the jump diving.
I mean, it's in the title, right? So you've got to be cool. So do you get like parkour skills where you can jump over cubicles?
Wait, what's the title?
Something cool.
Tactical.
Tactical. That was it.
Tactical.
Mike Cool's Tactical.
Solve this, the whole thing of like, what is the exciting thing about like doing it again, like for the final run, that other than like, okay, now it's more dangerous. Like, is there anything that's different? Anything extra that can happen?
Yeah, the modifiers for starters, but also finally being able to stop playing the game. I guess that it's all leading up to that grand escape. I don't know how to really escalate it beyond just the knowledge that this is the final chance. Maybe the music is different. The lighting changes. The people don't look like Super Hot characters because it's not in your mind anymore. This is real life. And in your imagination, there's no blood. Like, but in the final run, there's blood horrific. Fucking every. It's gruesome. It's erring onto war crime, except not really war.
I think you're going to have a real happy art department knowing that they have to design an asset.
The final level
twice.
Completely differently.
Only 2% of players will ever see.
They'll see it.
What about, so we were talking about a scoreboard earlier. What if like saving your fellow office workers added to the score as well? So, if you do like really accurate shots, you can free hostages and things like
it's
that.
It's like Abe's Odyssey. You've got a constant tracker keeping you aware of how many, what are they called? Boys you've kept alive.
They're boys. I like that because then there's the implication that also you could have a meat shield run where you just use your employees.
Yeah.
The
implication is there. Might as well use it.
The implication. The
only employees run. So you miss all the bad guys and
yeah.
you.
only you swap sides.
That should be an achievement. Swap
sides. Absolutely.
Okay, I like that.
If you
like
can't
this.
Beat them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into this.
I like the idea. I think, yeah, just that just feeding into that feeling of repeating and repeating and repeating to get the perfect run is just a cool idea. I like it a lot. I think every game in terms of skill progression and RPG elements, I think every game should have that thing where it's you've used this many times, cool, you're now better at it than before.
Yeah.
Rather than just an arbitrary, you've learned how to fucking spin dash because you leveled up your jump skill 3 times, just out of nowhere. I don't know. I've never been a fan of perks. Like
really?
The perk system. Yeah, just...
I'll let them know.
Yeah.
Arbitrary, just not really tied to anything that you've really done. Does that make sense? I'm not speaking English.
So the one... Tom's heart attack is coming back.
Someone spoke a little too loud a second ago and freaking out.
One thing we haven't gone back to yet is the day-night stuff that we mentioned right at the beginning. I think James and Chris brought it up about the potentially using... that because that made me think a little bit of Deathloop, which I guess is kind of similar, right? You're doing kind of practice runs of places almost to... get used to the real before doing the real thing,
mm-hmm.
In a way. And does that feed into, is it all over like one day? And depending on what time of day you do it, if it starts in the morning, you're simulating, okay, this is what this run is going to look like in the morning versus the afternoon versus in the evening.
It could be a bit like risk of rain, right? So the quicker you get through a floor, the easier it is. So if these enemies are like populating the building, the quicker you can make your way through hunkered down that they are could be an option.
Maybe the final run is extremely time limited because they're going to blow the fucking place up or something. I don't know. As time progresses, floors, yeah, like you're saying, like risk of rain, stuff gets harder as it gets closer to the end of the time. Mm.
Yes, that could be it. So so in your head, you're doing all the training, but in reality, maybe there's like a bomb, and as soon as you begin your attack, they in real life for the for the final run, they activate the bomb timer.
It was nice of them
which isn't
to wait
the
for you to stop
runs.
Daydreaming.
What if it's Groundhog Day, but the difference is that you're setting the timer on the bomb because you want to blow up the building with the terrorist inside it.
Oh,
and that's
so
the difference.
You're trying to get all the okay.
And you're trying to get out.
Yeah, right at the start of the game, you're like, right, this is the run. Start button on bomb, and it's just a big green start.
So the difference
it's a classic
is-
bomb.
You're setting a timer for the final run.
You start the timer and you have to get out successfully before your bomb goes off? I don't know.
Before a bomb goes off. I think that timer, that's the thing that makes it different and exciting because all of a sudden, you like even if you've done it 1,000 times and you're like you're super solid and you feel like you've got it nailed down, if all of a sudden you add time
solid.
Pressure... Then there's always a chance that that's just gonna get to you, and you're gonna fuck something up.
As long as it's clear that you're not the bad guy, and like
No,
I'm escaping a building full of bad guys, or am I the bad guy?
No,
blowing up a building full of people.
A building full of bad guys.
You're the good guy.
Okay,
we can call it M9 to 5, which is a gun and the thing about work.
M9. Hang on.
An M9 is a gun.
Okay.
And 9 to 5, because you're doing it over and over again, like a job.
And the final attack is set to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
She's the bad guy.
I think just after all of this time, I was just expecting something grander. Wow. That's an M1. Fuck. Cut that.
All right. Tom, can you give us a rundown of where we are right now?
M9 to 5 is a roguelike first person, I guess. I think we probably land on that. Maybe so. VR. Action survival game where you are basically I've forgotten his name. The guy from Die Hard.
John McClane.
You are John McClane.
Boobies.
John McClane trying to get from the top of the skyscraper to the very exit through various different means. But don't worry, you aren't John McClane. You're not a cop. You're a janitor who's 60 years old, who's trapped in a supply closet. So you don't have the skills.
John McClane.
You don't have the abilities to break out of here turn one or hour one, whatever. All you have is your incredibly accurate, vivid mind palace / Groundhog Day lifestyle that lets you try again to break through until one day you decide, no, this is it. I'm strong enough. I'm fast enough. I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough again. I'm jumpy enough because my athletics is high enough to break out of this motherfucker and also take down the bad guys with me by setting off this bomb that I set up
bombing them
in this utility closet with, I don't know, chemicals. And the longer you take training, the more things could go wrong. So the final run could be very different to what you're expecting. Or you could try it turn one. Do you have the ability to break out the skyscraper straight away? Probably not. M9 to 5.
That's a 0.001% achievement.
By Mike Cool.
By Mike Cool. Thank you, Mike Cool.
I think it needs a bit of work, sure, but I really like it.
I super want to play. Like, I think, like, especially that time pressure now in the final, like the final run of feeling like suddenly, okay, I know how to do this, but I have to do it in a certain amount of time is gonna add like this edge to it that will just feel super exciting.
Oh, yeah. It needs edging.
Edge.
Making video games, right? What a way to make a living.
Fuck's sake. Okay, look, if you like that idea...
Yeah.
If you like any of Chris's puns, please let us know. Don't let us know. We don't want anyone to encourage him.
We don't want any part of it. Chris's puns, just not the M9 to 5 one.
The others don't really work.
If you like it as a third person, a first
M4
person,
to five?
A,
no.
A top down Miami
nine to MP5. Miami,
what's it called? Vice? Deathline Miami Vice. Do you like it as that style?
1989.
Or if you think it should be John McClane, or if you think it should be someone who's not a janitor,
John McClane.
Maybe the terrorist should actually just be your employees who you kill for some reason.
I still don't stand by that idea.
Then please let us know what you think of this game. Tom, where can they let us know what they think of this game?
Oh, you can let us know on Twitter at PitchPleasePod. That's PitchPleasePod without any vowels. You can email us PitchPleasePod@yogscast.com. Yeah. Ooh,
nailed it. You practiced that for hours. It's really paid off.
Off the dome.
I can't believe we spent money on a jingle.
Or you can let us know PitchPleasePod with all the vowels because no one's taken it yet. On Hive baby. Social, right, Alex?
Oh,
you're
going to
register
God.
That? You're going to register that one? Or go to our masto.don.2 page. Pitch Please Pod with far too many vowels.
Love it. All right.
None of those please, exist.
Also, if you want to send in pitches of your own games, of your own ideas for us to chat through, we want to keep doing these, honestly.
Oh, like, I need to expand the jingle. Fuck.
Yeah. Tom's going to work on expanding the jingle. Until then, please send us more ideas, more text ideas, more voice ideas, whatever you want. there's quite a good chance it's going to get through because we're doing a lot of them now. Unless it's like, I don't know, racist or something.
that's the only line that we'll draw at.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. But until then, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Next time is going to be the podcast of the year, the game of the year show.
No, it fucking isn't. Shut up.
It fucking is.
Shut the front door.
It's going to be...
Shut your mouths.
E3, it's, but PP, PP3?
It's going to be E3 PP with MC. That's Matt Castle.
E3 PP3 MC? I cannot double you. PP.
All right, Tom's having another heart attack. His nose is bleeding. We're going to have to go. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Someone call the ambulance. Oh, actually, I don't know if Matt's joining us. He said he would, but who knows? I don't
what?
Know. I'm sure the takes.
That's, it seems
I've
like
said it now. I've said it now.
Okay.